We read from the Holy Scriptures this evening from the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. Our text this evening is found in verses 7 through 12 of this chapter. In this chapter, we have, in the form of a vision, symbolic language, really a picture of history. First six verses, history with regard to God's purpose to have the church of the old dispensation bring forth the promised seed, referred to as a man-child. But all that while of the old dispensation, Satan, pictured as a great red dragon, seeking to prevent his coming, and even to devour him should he appear. But it was all in vain, for her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. His ascension. But then verse 7 begins another perspective, war in heaven. A picture of the history in heaven. We'll focus upon that in our text, 7 through 12. Pay special attention to that section, as I won't reread all of that. In the last verses of the chapter, we have really words of warning for us, for God's people in these last days. We hear the word of God in Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Here begin the words of our text. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought unto his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Thus far, we read from God's holy word. As I said, our text this Ascension Day evening is found in verses 7 through 12. This time I'll reread only verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Church Order of Dort, our churches are required to observe this day on a yearly basis. With this special service, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ on the 40th day after his resurrection from the dead. But it often seems that the ascension of our Lord is a work of our Savior which is very little appreciated and whose importance is somewhat minimized. Of some of the other stages of Christ's work of salvation, much is made and said. The incarnation and its accompanying Christmas celebration is surely not easily forgotten or neglected. The suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ certainly occupies a place of major importance in the thoughts of God's people. The resurrection, too, is a gospel truth which we give a great deal of attention to. Even the return of Christ, especially in our day, is not readily passed by in the minds and hearts of God's people everywhere. Yet of the ascension and its importance, both for Christ and for His church, and as it concerns our lives in the midst of this world, we are too often somewhat unaware and neglectful. Certainly, the Scriptures everywhere attach great importance to the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Himself spoke of it frequently. He often reminded His disciples that He would soon be going away to His Father. He told them, too, that in the way of His departure, they would become the recipients of unspeakable blessings. And the apostles certainly do not neglect this aspect of Christ and of His work in their epistles. It's plain from Scripture that Christ's ascension means, in one word, victory, complete victory. That may be said concerning the other aspects of Christ's saving work as well, but we would emphasize that it is certainly the case with regard to His ascension. Complete victory. Scripture considers the victory of the ascension from many points of view. This chapter in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, speaks of the ascension victory of Christ from two distinct viewpoints. In the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 6, we have in symbolic language a description of the devil throughout the old dispensation to prevent and frustrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and having failed in this, to destroy him. The man-child referred to is our Lord Jesus Christ. The woman is the church of the old dispensation. That she was with child refers to the fact that the church throughout the old dispensation is by faith constantly engaged in the bringing forth of the promised seed of the woman, even our Lord Jesus Christ. The dragon, of course, as we mentioned already, is the devil, Satan. Throughout the old dispensation, the dragon stood before the expectant woman, ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. Throughout the old dispensation, the devil sought to slay the promised seed. But a wonderful thing happened according to the vision of the Apostle John as he was upon the island of Patmos. For when the man-child is born, God took him to heaven while he prepared a place of safety in the wilderness for the woman. We read, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Plainly, this refers to the victory of the exaltation of Christ, and particularly of his ascension into heaven. Upon the battlefield of the earth, the ascension meant that Satan had been defeated, though especially at Calvary. Humanly speaking, it almost appeared as if Satan had the victory and had devoured the Christ. We read, her child was caught up unto God, was snatched away. Christ was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. And that meant complete victory for Christ and his church. But in our text, verses 7 through 12 of this chapter, we have presented another battle, another war being fought upon a different battlefield. As we read in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. And our text speaks of the fact that Christ's ascension meant also the defeat of Satan upon this heavenly battlefield. And our text considers the victory of the ascension from this viewpoint of heaven. It's in this light that we consider our text this ascension evening under the theme, Ascension Victory in the Battle in Heaven. We notice first of all the battle, secondly the victory, and finally the result. Now we must understand and conceive of this battle as being very real. There was a battle in heaven. It took place in the abode of the good and holy angels. This battle transpired before the very countenance of Jehovah God. But of course, that this was a real battle does not mean that it was fought with physical, material weapons. This battle was not fought with swords or guns or bombs. This was a purely spiritual battle, fought with spiritual weapons. It was fought with intellect and shrewdness and subtlety, with the spiritual weapons of law and righteousness. Those who fight in this war are themselves spirits. They have no physical bodies, cannot die the physical death. They have no flesh and blood as we do, so they cannot be wounded physically. This is a war between angels, good and evil, a real and fierce battle, but a purely spiritual one, fought with spiritual means and therefore also with a spiritual outcome. On the one hand, stand Michael and his holy angels. From Scripture, we plainly see that Michael was a very great and powerful angel. His name means "who is like God." The Epistle of Jude in verse 9 speaks of him as Michael, the archangel, who was, we read, contending with the devil and disputed with him about the body of Moses. In the Old Testament, we find him mentioned in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 13. There we find that Michael contends with an evil prince for influence with the king of Persia on behalf of the people of God. In verse 21 of Daniel 10, Michael is directly called the prince of the people of God. We read of Michael again in Daniel chapter 12, the opening verse. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Plainly then, Michael is a great angel, a chief or prince among his fellow angels. He appears as an angel possessing much power and authority. From our text, it's also evident that he was placed over a great host of angels. He is appointed by God to fight against the devil and to lead his angels against him. He is a great guardian on the side of the people of God. But Michael does not fight alone. He has his angels with him. Not necessarily all of the holy angels, but undoubtedly a large number of which he is the chief. And so he leads his army of good angels against the devil and his host. Now our text refers to the devil as the dragon. The devil and his evil angels or demons are the opposing side in this warfare. The dragon and his angels fight with Michael and his angels. And no doubt the devil has a large army. From verse 4 of this chapter, we learn that the devil dragged along in his fall from God at the time of his rebellion a third of the angels, referred to as stars in the vision, but a third of the angels in heaven. So he possesses, therefore, a large and powerful army to give battle to Michael and his angels. We're concerned then with the time of this battle. There have been many different opinions as to when this battle in heaven takes place. First of all, we must not think of a spiritual battle in heaven before Satan entered paradise to deceive our first parents. At first glance, perhaps that seems to fit. It's undoubtedly true that when Satan and his angels rebelled against God, the Lord used the good angels to expel them from heaven. The devil and his angels are cast down to earth, explaining his work in paradise and ever since. Nevertheless, Scripture makes clear that in the old dispensation, Satan continued to have at least a certain access to heaven. point you only to the example we have in the book of Job. But more than once, Satan appears in the presence of God in heaven in connection with God's servant Job. And our text makes it plain that this cannot be the reference here. The great voice in heaven tells us that now the salvation and power of the kingdom of God have come, that the power or authority of Christ has appeared. And that certainly could not be said immediately after the first initial rebellion of Satan and his angels. Also, I call your attention to the fact that the devil is called here the accuser of our brethren. And certainly, after the first rebellion of Satan, there were no brethren in heaven as yet, no saved in Christ Jesus that could be accused. At the time this battle takes place, there are already saved in Christ brethren who fight through the blood of the Lamb and who overcome, who loved not their lives even unto death. In the second place, neither can this possibly be a battle which takes place at the time of the end of the world. The context makes it plain that after this battle is finished, there is still a period of history. There's still the woman, the church of God upon this earth. And the devil persecutes her in his wrath. So this battle in heaven is not fought at the end of time when all the people of God shall already have been taken up into glory. Finally, neither is this battle fought immediately after the exaltation of Christ. There's not a strictly chronological order of events in this chapter filled with symbolism. And we certainly don't read here of an attack against the ascended Christ in heaven. It's not the Christ, but the brethren that are the object of this attack of Satan. But positively, our text gives us a picture of a battle fought in heaven between the devil and his host, and Michael the archangel and his host, all through the time period of the Old Dispensation, the days of the Old Testament. The same time that the devil carries on a war upon the earth in that old dispensation, watching the church in order to prevent the coming of the promised seed and in order to devour the Christ as soon as he would be born. At the same time, he's waging war in heaven. All during this time, there were brethren before whom the devil appeared in heaven as the accuser. All through the old dispensation, there were those who, by the grace of God, loved not their lives unto death. It is, therefore, a battle fought all during the days of the old dispensation. It was a battle that began immediately after the death of righteous Abel, the first of our brethren who was in heaven. And it continued all through the old dispensation, and it was finished contemporaneously with the exaltation of Christ at the time of his ascension. And so we can understand how the devil, after having suffered defeat in this spiritual battle in heaven, still can come down to the earth to persecute the rest of the seed of the woman, the church. For these others are the faithful of the new dispensation, including the saints today, including ourselves by the grace of God. And so we can understand the nature of this warfare, this battle, to a certain extent. The devil fought a battle in heaven for the souls of those who entered into glory before the coming of Christ, before His birth and suffering and resurrection and ascension. In those days, Christ had not yet come. And that meant that, historically speaking, the debt of the saints of the old dispensation had not yet been paid. Historically, the sins of Abel and Enoch and Noah and the patriarchs and the prophets and all the elect who had died had not yet been atoned for. Historically, they died as sinners. Historically, Christ had not yet crushed the head of the serpent, had not yet assumed dominion. Historically speaking, the devil still had much power and all the world lay at his feet because of the sin of man, all during the time of the old dispensation. Oh, of course, in God's counsel, it was different. In God's counsel, His sovereign, eternal, living will and purpose, everything was established. His decree is sure and unchanging. Christ had eternally been appointed head and mediator of His people, and all His people had been given unto Him. In that council also, those elect who had been born before Christ's birth and suffering and death and resurrection and ascension had been given to Christ. Because God's counsel is sure, absolutely sure, the saints of the old dispensation didn't have to wait for their salvation and glory when they died till all was finished. Being justified from all eternity, they entered into glory before the Savior had actually come and paid for their sins upon the cross. But Satan did not figure with this counsel of God. Satan must have had the foolish hope in his devilish heart that he could so thwart the purpose of the Almighty God that Christ would never be born and would never pay for the sins of God's people, would never enter into everlasting glory with them. From Satan's point of view, all of those saints of the Old Testament times entered into glory as sinners upon whom he had a legitimate claim. What right do they have to be here in heaven? They deserve to go to hell because their sins had not been atoned for. And so Satan goes to heaven to accuse the brethren. And now it's plain why he is called the old serpent, the devil. That is, the slanderer and accuser. Now it's plain why he is called Satan, the old deceiver. He slanders the saints of the Old Testament before God. He lies about them. He says they have no right to enter into glory because they are condemned sinners. He accuses them by lying and slandering. And at the same time, he slanders the name of our God and the righteousness of God, who takes sinners into everlasting glory. The devil accuses the saints of the old dispensation. He fights for their souls. And God sends Michael and his holy angels against him to guard these souls and to defend the righteousness of God and the right of the saints to glory. The devil claims they are sinners. They are his. They must go to hell. They are yet in their sins. They have no mediator. He claims that he is fighting a great war on earth, and he will prevent the coming of the man-child, or will certainly devour him if he comes. Michael replies, as it were, these saints are righteous in Christ. God has declared them righteous. Michael insists that God has revealed that he would surely send the great seed to perform all the work of salvation, and that to him all these saints have been given. Michael maintains that God will keep his word and crush the head of the serpent. And so the battle went on. For the possession of the saints of Christ who had died and entered into glory during the time of the old dispensation. Do you see then, beloved, that with the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was proven once and for all that the devil was defeated, that he was totally unsuccessful. Of course, there was a defeat upon the earthly battlefield for Satan and his host. The dragon was not successful in thwarting the purpose of God. He did not succeed in preventing Christ's birth, for the woman brought forth the man-child. Oh, certainly he had tried repeatedly during the Old Testament times. I can mention just a couple of examples. Think of Pharaoh in Egypt during the time of the bondage of the children of Israel. Satan was working behind the scenes to destroy, if it could be possible, the promised seed. Or think later in the history of the old dispensation, the attempt of wicked Haman succeeding in having a decree of the king to have all the Jewish people wiped from the face of the earth. That was during the time of Esther. But he did not succeed. Neither did the devil succeed in devouring the man-child as soon as he was born. Oh, again, he had certainly tried. You children know how King Herod had sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to slaughter the infant babies. But he failed. And as we read in verse 5, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Christ had arisen from the dead and ascended into heaven, been exalted at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so it was that Satan was also simultaneously defeated in this battle in heaven. With Christ's ascension, the contest is decided in favor of Michael and his angels. It became plain. So plain that even the devil couldn't contradict it, that the saints of the old dispensation had had a right to glory on the basis of the future payment of their sin and guilt. And so the battle ends. The devil is defeated. He can't continue there in heaven with his vain accusations, Michael can now point to the facts. He can now point to the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He can show that God was indeed righteous in saving the saints of the old dispensation. And so Satan was defeated upon both battlefields. And there is total victory with the ascension of our Lord Jesus. Complete victory. Christ ascended. Rejoice, beloved. As we read in the Song of Victory in verse 10, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Christ ascends as the absolute victor to exercise His power and authority from the throne promised and given Him of the Father, to the end that He might completely redeem and deliver His inheritance and cause them to enter into the full and final realization of the victory over the enemy. Christ and the cause of God were completely victorious. The devil had been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. The deceiver had been deceived. Yea, he had deceived himself. That victory lay in the way of suffering, exaltation through the deep humiliation of our Savior, life through death. That Satan, after all, prepared his own defeat by killing the seed of the woman. This Satan had not clearly before his mind, but with Christ's resurrection and ascension and glorification, the devil was totally defeated. The dragon and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Christ had been caught up into heaven, and now Satan is cast down. He and his angels were banished from heaven. No longer can they appear before the face of God accusing the brethren. The devil and his host were cast out into the earth. What is then the result of the ascension victory of Christ in heaven? The heavens rejoice, and those dwelling in them. We've pointed out that glorious song of victory that was sung. Christ has ascended. The devil and his angels have been cast out. Satan has been dealt the death blow, as it were. Christ's ascension is the end of Satan's strength and power. Christ makes the devil himself Christ's servant. Christ, with his ascension and exaltation, is given all power and authority. Christ reigns. No one can pluck even one of his sheep from his hand. Indeed, principally, we are exalted with Christ. Our advocate and intercessor is there in glory on our behalf. Our human nature is in heaven in its glorified form. Because Christ has ascended as our head, we know that we also shall attain that glory. But, beloved, there's also a second result of the victory of the ascension. And this is a result that perhaps we often overlook, and that we often do not consider or take very seriously. But let us hear this evening, and let us remember For the loud voice from heaven proclaims, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The devil now directs all his efforts toward the destruction of the church militant. That's the church now here upon this earth. His attack is directed against you and against me. He has great wrath. Literally, this word wrath here signifies to breathe out violently, to pant in rage. It signifies passion, angry heat. The devil's wrath is the display of utter dissatisfaction, motivated by self-love and aggravated by the fact that he knows that everything is ultimately against him. And so he wanders about as a lion, a roaring lion, the Apostle Peter tells us. He knows that he has but a short time, but still he's seeking whom he may devour. Beware, people of God. He's after us. He's not so foolish as to waste his time seeking the wicked, the ungodly reprobate. He has them, as it were. But he's after us. And his attacks are most fierce where the church is most purely found, where the preaching of the gospel is faithful to God's word. And so he's busy here at Randolph Protestant Reformed Church. Remember who he is. He's the great dragon, the devil, Satan. He who deceiveth the whole world. He is the imposter par excellence, very cunning, exceedingly crafty. He seeks to destroy us. Very devilishly, he tries to lead us astray. He uses the pleasures and attractions of this world of sin and unbelief. Money, prosperity, worldliness are among his most valuable weapons against us, at least for quite some time. He very slyly seeks to work from within, spreading his lies and deceit. Only as a last resort does he use outward persecution, which we see increasing in many places around the world, and already in our own land in subtle forms. Though the devil was foiled in his attempt to destroy the man-child, our Lord Jesus Christ, he attacks the woman, the church of this new dispensation. He knows that if he can destroy her, the cause of God will still, in part, be defeated. But do not despair, beloved. Be on your guard. Fight the good fight, the battle of faith, day by day. Keep putting on the whole armor of our God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. But do not fear. For the woman, the church, cannot be defeated. Christ's ascension involved in principle the crushing of the head of the serpent. And thus he can do nothing apart from the sovereign rule of Christ. And ultimately all that he does, even all of his furious rage, is in the service of Christ and in the coming of the kingdom of Christ. And all his attempts against the church shall surely fail. The word of God is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Our risen and ascended Lord has complete victory. Our King is already now on the throne. We have certain triumph. For this is his word. His saints shall not fail, but over the earth their power shall prevail. All kingdoms and nations shall yield to their sway. To God give the glory and praise him for a. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, what marvelous things thou hast made known unto us in thy word of truth. In this marvelous vision of the Apostle John, what a perspective on history thou hast given us to behold, and how wonderful to us is the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the man-child who was caught up into heaven. Thanks be unto thee for the victory over the great dragon, the evil one, Satan. Thanks be unto thee for the victory which we have even now in our Lord Jesus Christ, who even at this moment intercedes for us and all his people from thy right hand. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. Meanwhile, make us strong in the battle of faith. May thy name receive the glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.